listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to discuss with Chris Rosebro something that is really rather common in Christianity today, in evangelicalism, and that is leaders, pastors, sometimes they even refer to themselves as the anointed, receiving direct revelations from God. Chris Rosebro is a regular guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
How important is this concept, this idea, or this really kind of this a source of authority in pop American evangelicalism of getting a private or an individual revelation from God?
I would say historically it hasn't been that important. In fact, I would say that until the rise of the Pentecostal and charismatic movements, evangelicals didn't speak in this way. In fact, oftentimes evangelicals would talk about sola scriptura. But as the charismatic movement and Pentecostalism has taken over the mainstream of the evangelical movement, a larger and larger segment of evangelical Christians really do believe they're hearing directly from God. They are actually taught that if they're not hearing from God, they're doing something wrong. And then their pastors and female pastrixes, they also are, you know, claiming this direct revelation from God. So it's become really the heart of American evangelicalism, so much so that nobody bats an eyelash when somebody claims to receive direct revelation from God, even if that revelation is supposedly instructing the person to do things that don't sound Christian or things that Christians should be doing at all.
So this is, if you were to walk into the average big box church, you are going to hear on a regular basis the pastor or individual parishioners, but the pastor mostly, say, I've heard from God this weekend, or God told me, or any of those kinds of things.
Yes, it is very common in evangelicalism not only to hear that, but also to be instructed. You know, you might even have a sermon series on how do I know I'm hearing the voice of God. In fact, Bill Hybels wrote a book on what he calls God whispers. And so, you know, how do you know you're hearing a whisper from God? And supposedly there's different ways that you can check to see if that's actually God or maybe a piece of undigested beef that's causing you to hallucinate. But Rick Warren does the same thing. And then you have to understand that all of the seeker-driven churches that really are, you know, where the leaders are taught the seeker-driven model, where the pastor is a vision-casting leader, and he is supposed to have received a direct vision from God as to how God wants them to do church in their particular cultural context. So it is the cornerstone of the seeker-driven movement, and it creates a secondary authority within evangelicalism, where in the Lutheran tradition we talk about sola scriptura, that Scripture alone is our authority, not enthusiasm or God withinism, or not, you know, or not extra biblical books or the verdicts of popes or things like that. But Scripture alone governs. But in evangelicalism, it's a twin source of authority. They'll say Scripture is authoritative. They don't deny that for the most part. But they'll also, alongside of Scripture, they lay these direct revelations and things like that, and visions, alongside of authority.
Chris Rosebro is our guest. When we come back, we'll hear an example, a female pastor who says that she's been told by God to participate in the Sex Box television program. Stay tuned.
Producing 10 hours of live talk radio every week from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Small Catechism giant poster by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Small Catechism giant poster. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, March the 6th. We're doing our series This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We're talking about revelations from God, in particular, evangelical leaders who claim revelations from God. Chris, you've actually assembled some examples of this for us. What are we going to hear in this first example that you've provided?
We're going to listen to two sound bites. There's a female pastor who is also a counselor who was asked to be on WeTV's soon-to-be-premiered television program entitled Sex Box. Now, I know this sounds crazy, but the premise behind the program is that couples, and married and unmarried, gay and straight, couples come onto the television studio set, and there's a big box that's opaque and it's soundproof, and the couple goes in and has sex and then comes out and discusses their challenges with intimacy. And one of the people who is asked to be an expert on intimacy is a woman who also claims to be a pastor. And so the first soundbite we're going to be listening to is from her interview with CBNNews.com. These are the people who put out the 700 Club regarding how God told her to do this.
This Friday, the controversial new TV show Sex Box will premiere on WeTV. The show asks couples to enter a soundproof box, have sex, then come on stage and describe the experience to a panel of intimacy experts. One of these experts is Pastor Yvonne Capehart, who joins us now via Skype. Thanks for being with us today.
Wonderful. I'm excited to be with you today.
Okay, Dr. Capehart, can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with the show and how your faith ties into it?
Yes, I'm one of the experts on the show, but I'm also a pastor. And I think my role is pretty much a dual role. I'm not only a pastor, but I do have a doctorate degree in counseling as well. And so in order to make, I think, a balance with the show and the advice that was given, so I'm able to give biblical advice and pastoral advice, as well as personal advice to the couples that were on the show.
Okay. Now, as a pastor, did you have any reservations about being a part of the judges panel? If I'm understanding correctly, you did turn them down about three times before. Why did you finally agree to go on the show?
I did turn them down three times, of course, for the title, the content, and the layout of the show. Originally, when I heard about it, I went, whoa, you know. And I think that's probably what a lot of other people would get. But one thing about my life and one thing about God is he will push you to do some things that you probably were not, think that you shouldn't do. And I am so glad because through prayer, after I turned it down the third time, the Lord, as he did it many times in my life with everything else in my life, instructed me that he had prepared me to do the show and that my presence would make a difference in being on the show.
Okay, so you feel that the Lord has led you to actually be on the panel then?
Absolutely, 100%. There is no doubt.
All right, what are your thoughts there, Chris?
Okay, well, here's the question. Who is she hearing from? Is she hearing from God the Holy Spirit? Or is she hearing from herself or from something more nefarious, like, you know, we'll say a demonic influence? Well, literally, we've got several things that kind of clue us in as to what's going on here. This is a woman who claims to be a pastor. Scripture is very clear that the pastoral office is for men. It's not for women. It's not that God doesn't love women, and it's not that women are not capable of preaching as far as their talents and things like that. That's not it. It's just that God has established the male pastoral role, and women are not to hold that office. That's what Scripture says. So already we've got a problem. This is a woman claiming direct revelation from God who also claims to hold the pastoral office. If she were really hearing from God, what God should be saying to her is, you're not a pastor. You need to read my word. And so we've got a problem here. And then notice that her initial reaction to the program, and their attempts to try to enlist her help to be on the program, her initial reaction was no, and for very good reasons. And she not only said no once, she said no three times, but after praying about it, God said, I've prepared you for this. You really need to go on the program. And, you know, and so she's 100% convinced that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who told her to do this thing. And there, not only is there no good reason why God the Holy Spirit would do this, there's very good reasons why God the Holy Spirit would never tell her to do this. So, but notice, by playing the God card, by playing the direct revelation card, now if you're saying you shouldn't be on this show, it's not, hey, Yvonne Capehart, she didn't want to go on there. God's the one who told her to go, so you got to take it up with God. So this the authority that she's claiming for going on to the show, she's not to blame. It's God. God is to blame. And we would say that this is a breaking of the commandment that says you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This is exactly what it means to hijack God's name and to use it in a way to deceive people.
What's next?
Well, what's next here is that, you know, now they're going to get into a little bit of the details of the program itself and its format and what she's going to be doing. And not only is she going to claim that she, you know, that God told her to do this, but she's going to claim even a little bit more authority for herself as we listen to it.
Okay. Well, are there unmarried couples on the show? And if so, you know, how do you advise them? Do you advise them from the scriptures, from the Bible? How do you advise them if they're unmarried or perhaps even gay or lesbian?
Believe it or not, I counseled and advised the couples on the show just as I do the couples in my church. I gave them the same advice. Not all the couples in my church are saved, delivered, set free. But I'm one of those that believe if people are in trouble and if people are struggling and need help, we should offer them help. And so I offer them the advice. And when people come to me, they already know that I'm a pastor. When they ask me to come on the show, they ask me because I was a pastor. And so I gave the same advice. There was no difference. I was in my comfort zone. There was no difference.
So producers didn't restrict you about teaching from the counseling from the scriptures in any way?
Not at all. Matter of fact, they allowed me many times on the show to say I was a pastor. I was doing what I'm called to do. I'm called and anointed. I've been doing this for 17 years to do what I do, and that's to speak to all people. I'm not just bound by the people that come to church. I'm called to speak to people, whether they're in the church, out of the church, or in the world. God sent me and anointed me and called me to go in the world. Okay. To do a kingdom assignment. That's what I do.
Chris, what actually is she claiming there beyond what she said before?
Okay, now notice, initially she said God's the one who told her to do this, but now she's saying that God sent her. And by the way, in Greek, there's a familiar word that we all know that the word is apostle, okay, apostolos. She's claiming to be a sent one. That's what apostolos means. She's also claiming to be an anointed one. She's claiming to be a Christos. And no joke, Jesus in the Olivet Discourse warns us in the last day there would be false Christs and false prophets. And she's claiming for herself to be an apostle because she's a sent one, and she's claiming that she's an anointed one, claiming to be one of the Christoi. That's exactly what this woman is claiming for herself. So not only is she claiming direct revelation from God, she's claiming to be an apostle and an anointed one, a Christ. And this is huge. In other words, you cannot challenge this woman at all. She has the same authority as Peter, as the Apostle Paul, as Bartholomew, as any of the 12 disciples.
So I noticed that she deflected the question, the moral question that was in the interviewer's inquiry there about, you know, unmarried couples going to be jumping in that box having sex, gay couples going to be jumping in that box having sex. She didn't seem to have much to say about that. Apparently God hasn't given her any definite word on that one.
No, well, clearly we've got an issue here because notice she says, and they know I'm a pastor. So because she's there in representing herself as a pastor, and pastors are there, you know, filling an office established by Christ, and they're to speak the words of God, not their own, but God, you know, God's words. By her not saying anything about the morality of the situation, and her basically being silent about the morals involved, and doing so with everybody knowing that she's a pastor, by her silence, she is communicating that God is okay with non-married couples having sex and with gay couples having sex. That's what she's doing by representing herself as a pastor, which is another reason why we can say with certainty God the Holy Spirit is not the one who sent her, anointed her, or told her to go on that program.
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity here on Issues, Etc. We're talking about evangelical leaders that claim revelations from God. A couple more examples of that with Chris Roseborough right after this.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We're going to take a look at the ecclesiastical model employed by much of American evangelicalism today, especially as put forward by the seeker-driven movement. We're going to take a look at where this idea of a vision-casting leader comes from, what its main tenets are, and we're going to compare that so-called ecclesiastical office to the biblical office of pastor to see if the two are actually synonymous and interchangeable, or if this concept of a vision-casting leader actually turns a pastor into a false prophet.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church June 19th and 20th at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Look at them now. Tidy. Librarian's hands. Look at these. You're going to put one of these hands into the hands of Jesus Christ, and this perfectly smooth, not calloused, not blistered, not cut up hand is going to go into the hand of the one whose hand has a nail print in it.
In their death, in which they willingly undertook death, they were testifying that there was a life that was laying underneath and all around their own demise.
The devil won, because he trapped Johnny into sin, and he'll gladly pretend like he lost and give the stupid fiddle of gold, because when Johnny dies, Johnny's going to hell.
The fact is, God shows us how foolish we are by offering something that seems absolutely most foolish of all.
In about 20 minutes, you'll get to hear all of those sound bites in their entirety when we play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The way you vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and I had strongly encourage you to do so. It is your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt and Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you can vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. ETC. Soundbite of the Week in about 20 minutes. In the meantime, Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're going through some examples of evangelical leaders, pastors, even apostles and the anointed ones receiving or claiming to have received direct revelations from God. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris, you got a couple more examples for us of a pastor who claims to hear directly from God. What are we going to hear?
Yeah. Now, this one's an interesting one, and this is coming from Flatirons Church in Lafayette, Colorado, which is if it's not the largest, one of the largest mega churches in the state of Colorado. And we're going to be listening to Jim Bergen, who recently came back from a trip to Africa, and this past Sunday decided that he had heard from God and was going to share that information with the people during his sermon, and then he was going to instruct them on the spiritual contemplative mysticism practices that helped him hear from God. So the first soundbite we're actually going to hear from him, he's going to explain how he heard from God and try to help the people at his church overcome their fear and trepidation regarding what it is that he's saying.
When I get all that noise, or most of that noise out of my life, eventually, not right away, but eventually my thoughts turn towards God. When I go to Africa, I hear God better. I wish I could say I hear him the same in Colorado, but I don't. I get some noise out of my life, and I hear God better over there. And here's why I tell y'all that. I'm setting you up for something, all right? Today's going to get weird, all right? So here's what I mean, all right? Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, I think I heard from God. It makes me nervous to tell you that, all right? And over the next few weeks, I want to tell you about it. And I'll be honest, I'm freaked out about it, all right? Because I'll tell you, if you've been around here enough, I'm not one of those I heard from God guys. I'm not that guy. He's on TV. I turn the channel when he says that, all right? I'm not a heard from God guy. When people tell me that they heard from God, I wait for them to tell me that they want me to do something for them, right? I heard from God. You should give me $10. Yeah, I heard from God. You should get a job. Duh. All right, there, right? That's just me, all right? That's not very spiritual, but I'm just telling you, that's what comes up in me. You got to get your hearing checked, because I didn't hear that, all right? So if the whole I heard from God freaks you out, I get it. I get it. You don't have to believe me. If you're sitting there going, what kind of church do we end up in? It's one of those, all right? Listen, if I were you, I wouldn't believe me. All right, I have sat in rooms like this and had people like me stand up and go, I heard from God. And I'm like, when can we go to lunch? I just don't want that. So if you don't like what you're going to hear today, blow it off.
All right, Chris, what is there? He has a lot of disclaimers. In while claiming to having heard from God, he says, I don't believe it when anybody else says it, but you better believe it when I say it.
I'd believe the disclaimers before I would believe that he was hearing from God. There's a lot going on here, and so you can tell that this is a mega church that is not used to, or where it's normative for them to have their pastor say, I've heard from God. So this is something new to them, and we've got some major problems. And one of the major problems here is the job of a pastor is not to preach their own personal experiences. The job of a pastor is to preach the word. This is explicitly stated in the pastoral epistles, where Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and by his returning, Christ returning, that you are to preach the word in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. These are the things that pastors are to be doing. So a pastor is similar to a prophet, and you have to work with me on this, in the sense that he is given words to speak. They're not his words, they're God's words, and those words are not to come from an alternate source, but are only to be coming from the written canon of Scripture. So, pastors are to speak God's words from the written text. But what this guy is doing in this sermon is, and I actually reviewed it in total earlier in the week on my program, every single time he touched a written biblical text, he actually twisted it, but spent a lot of time, and I mean a lot of time, going over, giving us the story of how he discovered this spiritual practice, where he began to use this spiritual practice, kind of the affectung that he experienced when he was first initially using this spiritual practice, and then he had this breakthrough moment where he had this very vivid, ecstatic vision, and he's claiming that he had this from God, and so he came back from Africa and decided that his job was to actually teach everybody in his congregation how to use this spiritual discipline practice that he had been taught so that they too can have the same kind of experience that he had. And from the word go, this is not anything that any Christian pastor is called to do, should do, ought to do. In fact, there's every reason why they should never do this. The job of a pastor is to preach the word, not to preach their experiences. And what he's literally doing in teaching them this mystical practice, which actually comes out of Roman Catholic mysticism, is he's opening them up to being influenced by forces outside of the Holy Spirit and literally opening him up for, you know, to be either be self-deceived or to tap into the demonic realm and hearing from them. And so the next soundbite, what we're going to hear, is him actually beginning the process of teaching them how to do this practice that he learned so that, you know, they can have these kind of experiences too.
So he says, Jeff, I'm going to teach you how to pray. And so in the book, all right, again, don't walk out yet. Wait till the end, all right? So in the book, this is how he taught him to pray. Sit down on the floor, cross your legs. All right, that's in the movies. I get that, all right? Cross your legs. Breathe in, breathe out. And what he said is to put your tongue on the roof of your mouth, breathe in, and breathe out. And then he told him to do this. Let's let go of every thought. Anything that comes in your head, just lay it down. Relax your entire self from top of head, working down to the soles of your feet, and just simply just be. Just be with God. And if God wants to bring you something or tell you something, he'll do that. Now, this sounds a little, it's getting weirder, right? It's getting a little weirder right now. Just hang with me, all right? This isn't some Eastern mystery religion, all right? This is Christian. This is biblical. Christian mystics and holy men and women of the church have been doing that for the last 2,000 years. Right? The term for it is contemplative prayer. I want to contemplate the things of God in prayer. I want to contemplate God in prayer. Some people call it breath prayer, but it's biblical prayer. Breathe in, breathe out. And that's really, really important because if you read your Bible, breath, wind, and spirit, all the same word.
What's he saying there, Chris?
Well, literally what he's doing is telling people to practice what in other religions is known as transcendental meditation. Literally where you sit in the lotus position, you cross your legs, you breathe in, you breathe out, and then you have some kind of a mantra that you say. And he says maybe it could be a breath prayer like saying, you know, Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer. Lord, in your mercy. And you repeat it over and over again. And any time a thought comes to your mind, you're to put it aside so that you're completely clearing your mind so that you're literally in a meditative, altered state of consciousness whereby God supposedly then, by you doing this, is supposed to come to you and bring you things and bring things to your mind and communicate with you directly so that you can have these direct encounters with God. The thing is that this comes out of Eastern religions. It was brought into the church with the Desert Fathers, and was a common practice through the medieval period in Roman Catholic monasteries. And it's basically just rank mysticism. And the thing is that Scripture nowhere teaches us to practice this. Instead, and not only that, this is not a form of prayer. This is Eastern meditation. And Jesus said, listen to this. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so the way Jesus taught us to pray is the complete opposite of the way this man is teaching the people in his congregation to pray. In fact, what he's teaching them to do is not prayer. It is, in fact, Eastern meditation and a way by which many people have experienced, I'll be blunt, the demonic. And so it's very frightening. Listening to this sermon as this guy is introducing everybody, he knows they're going to be squeamish about this idea, but he's trying, you know, all along the way to overcome their squeamishness so that he can introduce them to this practice so that they can have the same experiences that he had.
It's just odd that he would say, hey, you guys know I'm not a I heard from God kind of guy. Then he, with that little caveat, he goes on to essentially not only claim that he has personally heard from God, but that he can help everyone else in his congregation personally hear from God too through this meditative practice. He sounds like a I heard from God kind of guy to me, Chris.
Yeah, well, you see the thing. Well, now you're talking so logically. You just got to think from a postmodern worldview here. You're right, because the thing is, his saying "I'm not a God, you heard from God" kind of guy, while saying that he's heard from God, makes him by definition a guy who claims to be hearing from God. And so, you know, he's engaging in true classic postmodern doublespeak, and he's. Sincere. That's the thing, is I don't think he's intentionally setting out to deceive people. It's clear that whatever he experienced, he believes it's from God. But the thing is that he hasn't. That's the issue. And nowhere in Scripture does God's Word teach us to pray in this manner. This is not prayer. This is something completely different. This comes out of Buddhism. This comes out of Eastern religions. This is not Christian prayer at all. And it very much is extremely dangerous. So it's very sad, kind of watching as this guy has been duped, and to trust his experiences more than the written word of God. And then by doing so, he then believes that he's doing the best thing for his congregation to teach them to do the same as he, so that they can have these experiences, as if these experiences are going to be more real and more spiritual than praying the Lord's Prayer or receiving the Lord's Supper or hearing God's Word rightly handled. This is very dangerous stuff.
What's the result of this? If you have, you mentioned very early on the kind of Pentecostal charismatic influence that has come into evangelicalism and more or less taken it over with regard to how they regard the authority of personal revelation versus that of Scripture. But what's the end result of, let's say he's successful and he teaches his megachurch there. It was in Colorado, is that correct?
Yes.
He teaches his megachurch how to do this so that everyone can sit down in the lotus position, empty their minds, and get their own private revelations from God. No Bible necessary. Where does that lead?
It leads to, well, let's be blunt, it leads people to hell. And the reason it does is it unhinges their faith from being in Christ to being in their experience of the Christ or whatever they think they're experiencing within their meditative practices. It opens the door up for a false Jesus and false doctrine and basically a putting aside of God's Word. We don't need to read God's Word. In fact, God's Word is used in these contemplative practices kind of willy-nilly. You just randomly pick a passage from Scripture, open up to a page, just stick your finger down, and then wherever your finger lands, you say those words over and over and over again from God's Word to create a mantra by which you're able to silence your mind and enter an altered state of consciousness. So what happens is God's Word goes from being the authoritative Word of God, where there's verbs and nouns and adverbs and grammar that God is conveying a message to us through what is the inspired Word has been written down for us, to instead now I don't need to read those words. I use those words in order to experience God in a sense. Just take my fingers and plug them directly in to the light socket so that I can have that electrical jolt directly from God. So I can bypass Scripture altogether, ascend into heaven, and commune with God directly, in the nude, if you would. But nowhere in Scripture is this taught. And no, not at all. Christ comes to us through means. He comes to us through his word. He comes to us in the Lord's Supper, in his body and his blood. He comes to us in the waters of our baptism. This is, and these are all mediated through means that God has established. So this alternate form of prayer that isn't prayer is not a means by which God has promised us anything. And as a result of that, rather than experiencing God, you really have opened yourself up to experience and be influenced by the demonic.
That, of course, is the greater danger of what he's proposing there for himself and his people. If we can, for the sake of argument, call it a lesser danger of the guy who gets himself in his room, clears his mind, crosses his legs, gets his mantra going, tries his hardest, and hears nothing, and then says, that's better than hearing something, Chris, but that guy might conclude, I'm not hearing from God. I need to try harder. Maybe there's another place to look for where God might be speaking to me.
Yeah, and that's kind of the other issue in all of this, you're right to bring this up, is that oftentimes it goes along with this type of preaching, taking a passage from the Gospel of John chapter 10 out of context, where Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And so what they'll say is that Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So if you're not hearing from God via direct revelation in these experiences, well, then you're doing something wrong. So then what happens then is that these experiences are pushed on people in a coercive manner by way of turning it into a law. See, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Well, if you're doing something wrong, maybe you're fornicabootylating or something, if you're not hearing directly from God, so you got to clean up your act, or you got to do certain things so that then you can clear the line so that God can communicate communicate to you. So, yeah, it then gets run through the law and becomes a very oppressive thing that it will coerce people into continuing the practice until they have an experience, or worse, fake that they're having an experience so that they can save face in front of their friends and not have to say, hey, listen, you know, I'm not really hearing anything. That's kind of an embarrassing thing, because that means I'm not one of Christ's sheep. So then you just start making stuff up.
With only about 30 seconds here, Chris, what if one of his parishioners hears something different than what this pastor hears? Which private revelation is going to win? 30 seconds.
Well, in this type of theology, well, all different kinds of doctrines and revelations are embraced. What is not embraced are exclusive truth claims that would challenge the whole basis of the meditative practice in the first place.
Chris, what's in store tonight for Fighting for the Faith?
Well, tonight we got listener email, but we're also going to be doing an extended segment on Rob Bell. He's got a new podcast that he's put out, and we're going to be introducing people to how a postmodern deconstruction of Christianity sounds like in its early stages.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith a half hour from now, right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend the rest of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, March the 6th, playing the game Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week with you, our listeners. That means you need to get ready to call, email, tweet, go to our Facebook fan page, and vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play the soundbites for you right after the break, and then we'll start taking your votes. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With heirs of the Reformation, treasures of the singing church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.